Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I wish I had a more up-tempo voice for y'all tonight. But after watching tonight's game, I don't know. Listen, you know what? It is what it is. Welcome to STK episode 20, Surviving the Knicks. This is what we do. We survive the Knicks.
We do, man.
Oh, what a title.
What a title. Listen, Knicks lose to Nets G League team. I'm sorry, coach. Listen, I got bad respect, but bro, this is a game.
Cam Thomas is a star. Well, he's not a star, but like he on his way. You know, he a scorer. He a bucket. So
listen, tonight I have my esteemed colleagues. Wall Street Heck is you know, happy anniversary to Wall Street Heck.
Happy 5-year anniversary.
Happy 5-year anniversary, my brother. Keep it strong. He's out tonight. But yeah, I got, listen, we hold it down. Got my man Ed Dollars in the building. The highly esteemed Ed Dollars.
What's up? I had to break out the blazer today, man. But yo, Coach B was the one that came up with Surviving the Knicks. I got to tell you, that was the name that he coined. And how perfect of a name it is for this season. And basically my entire lifetime. I wasn't, you know, when I was born in 1975, they didn't win a championship, right? And I've never seen a championship, and I've always seen reiterations of what we've seen tonight. But you know what? All I do is survive the Knicks, man. That's why we're on this podcast.
Yep, that's all we do. And we also got the soon-to-be JV private school league champion.
PSAA big game tomorrow. Right. And Luha has a streaming platform if y'all want to stream the game. If you're in Long Island and can make it to Luha, make sure you're streaming for the right team, man. Shout out to my guys. They did everything they were supposed to do this year. So one more.
That's right. Yeah, Coach B in the building, man. I mean, somebody's got to win. You know, my colleagues, my brothers on this show, their teams have better records.
I said we want seats on Tibbs bench. Listen, and we want to run film sessions, and we want to run practice, and then maybe Tibbs will let us call a play or two. You know.
All right, let's keep it real, right? Because obviously the Nets lost. They were down big. They came back. Lost a lot of energy getting back, and then they got finished off. Like, that's been the narrative for the last 20 games or so, right? Is it surprising that Steve Nash outcoached Tibbs, considering, like, I mean, if you look at the paper rosters, and obviously we all know playing basketball, games are won on the court. But when you look on paper, if you would have said the Nets wouldn't have KD, they traded away Harden, and Kyrie Irving's not going to play as well as Ben Simmons, my thoughts would be, oh, this is a gimme game. This is easy. This is barbecue chicken. And yet, it wasn't. Like, it was dollar pizza. Like, it was, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. Like, I'm watching the game, and I'm just like, Jesus, like, when does it end? Like when, you know, I mean.
All right. Here it is.
Let's go.
Road trip was a disaster. You know, RJ got hurt.
Yes.
Questionable decision to have him out there at that point in the game. Julius Randle lost his good supporting pieces and got some new supporting pieces that just don't fit. For everybody that's out there putting any hate on Kimba, Kimba plays like 26 minutes. Like, he's always been on a minutes restriction. This is not his problem.
No.
It might be a little bit of
you don't blame the sous chef, okay? You don't blame the guy that makes the salad. You blame the top chef. All right, this the guy. So let's talk about it. Julius Randle, take responsibility for everything that's happening, even despite the fact that you're playing great. You know, this past stretch, I think it's like 28-10-6 or 7. Right. Even though we got like a 2-7 record in that span, but you know, whatever. The numbers look good. You have a lot of responsibility to take on this end. Leon Rose, man, Tibbs. This is your baby. This is what you want to put out there. For whatever reason, it's just not working. And then you want to go further down the line. RJ, even though you're hurt, you're second in command. You're not giving any leadership. Evan Fournier, our next best scoring option. All you do is shoot the ball, so you're not giving any leadership. And it's like there's no defensive anchor, really, despite the fact Mitchell Robinson is supposed to be that guy. So we don't got any leadership there. Like, then you could blame the other vets, you know, Burks, Kimba. Like, it's a storm. It's a terrible, terrible storm of trash, and it's not getting any better. Shout out to
it's a big trash storm.
Shout out to Cam Thomas, man, getting the best of Quentin Grimes. The
guy what a shot! What even though Quentin Grimes is clearly
a fit for Tibbs. Cam Thomas is going to continue to score buckets at a very high rate.
Grimes was getting looks, a lot of looks before the trade deadline, man. He was in a lot of like possible destinations. Like people were really calling. At least that was what was on the way on the ticker tape that people were really inquiring about him. Mm-hmm. Him and there was real that I thought Julius would be a thing, but no one was really trying to take him.
You know what? If Steph Curry doesn't hit that shot, man, we're talking about a different basketball game too. But, you know, that's another story for another day.
Ed.
Hey, guys. I'm at a loss for words, man. You know, like.
Boom.
You know, what do we point the finger? I mean, you know, obviously, today was the Nets versus the Knicks, but. The Knicks were riding like a massive losing streak, and you saw the same sort of tendencies throughout the entire losing streak. You know, ironically, it seemingly on paper, Julius Randle's having good numbers and RJ's out. And that makes a lot of sense because Julius performs well when he's the lone man, the one man gang, when the lone star, he's performing well. But we went into the season not with the mindset of a one-man gang. We wanted to be a playoff powerhouse, and unfortunately, we're not. And we're losing expectations. We're losing composure. Our last game, Tibbs made a coaching mistake. You know, we could talk about all the coaching mistakes he makes, but there's never been absolute support for a mistake that he actually made. And last game, he made a crucial error. He made a mistake in like the timeouts and the mistake in the situation. And that never happens, which means that he's distracted. Mm-hmm. Today, the guys, they've been like, you know, he's been playing his starters a long time, more than they should. And they got gassed. And obviously with all bad teams, every bad team has runs. You know, every bad team that's winning will start losing. Every bad team that's losing will start winning. And that's exactly what happened. The Nets are a good team. Unfortunately, their good players are not playing right now. Mm-hmm. And then their supporting cast came up big. Cam Thomas came up huge. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge came up huge. And our players, they just couldn't buy a bucket because we kept on doing the things that we always do. Throw it into Randle. Try to have Randle do something. And then ultimately kick it out for someone to shoot something. And it's just not working. It's beginning to sound like a broken record, but we made a massive mistake last year making the playoffs. We are obviously not in a position to continue to perform at an expectation level. Today, Van Gundy was on ESPN and he said the Knicks should not make the playoffs, man, because that's just false expectations. If the Knicks made the playoffs, then the fan base would be like, oh, we're heading towards the right right path. And he said, you're not. You are in the middle ground. You're stuck in mud. And something substantive has to happen. And right now, you know, our front office is stuck in mud. Our coaching staff is stuck in mud. Our veterans are stuck in mud. And our young guys are stuck in mud. Today, you know, Taj Gibson played 25 minutes. And Sims didn't play any. You know what I'm saying? Luckily, Grimes is playing 32 minutes because RJ's not playing. But Obi Toppin played 11 minutes. You know what I'm saying? In those 11 minutes, he was a plus four. And Julius Randle played 37 minutes. And although Julius Randle had numbers, he was still a minus. He was still a minus nine in those numbers. So some of those stats are empty stats, man. And we can come on this podcast every single week because we survived the Knicks. But ultimately, we should be disappointed in the front office, in the coaching staff, and the players itself.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't, I mean, I when I turned on the game, right, I'm looking at him like, well, I don't really care to watch this game because this is like a gimme game. Like, this should be easy. Like, even if it comes close, this is, to me, in my mind, this is at least a Knicks 6-point win, 8-point win, should be 10 and above. But in my mind, though, you know, those are the expectations. And as I'm watching the game, I'm just sitting there, I'm just like, yo, like, what the hell's going on? Like, and honestly, I think the team that the Knicks have is good. It's the coaching that's the problem. The person who's supposed to be at the helm is not putting people in positions to succeed. That is a coach's job. You're supposed to, you know, like Jordan, you know, and I hate to go back to this, but Jordan was great when he, without the triangle, right? He won defensive player of the year, scoring title, MVP, but he didn't win in the playoffs. He didn't win a chip. Why? Because he wasn't put in the best situation to succeed. The players beside him weren't put in the best. So what did they do? They made a coaching change. Someone who had the knowledge and who was smart enough, because Phil Jackson gets credit for the triangle, but it's Tex Winter that really developed the triangle. We all know that. And he was smart enough to be like, you know what? I need a guy. This is my guy who's going to he's going to help me get my guys in the best position to win. I don't see that with Tibbs. I see bad coaching mistakes with Tibbs. I see him having a young RJ, who's the future of the Knicks, playing in a worthless game in worthless minutes, and then tweaks his ankle. And that could have been, you know, and that could have been anything. This Derrick Rose all over again. And it's like, what is your thought process to think
he claimed
that you're going to make a run?
He claimed that they could have got it under 10, and that's why he tried to leave him out there at the four.
Listen, but we all know that wasn't going to happen. We all know, we're all sitting at home watching the game, thinking to ourselves, why is RJ out there? Like, what is he still doing out there? I cut off the game because I was like, all right, whatever. And then I get the ticker tape saying, oh, RJ hurts ankle in final minute. And I'm like, why was he still in there? And it's, honestly speaking, I don't, you know, yes, they could use upgrades at certain positions, but this is a team that could win. This isn't, you know, and
at every level, there's something you can point to. The front office designs the team, the coach strategizes the team, and then you have the team itself. When you have the team failing in the clutch, they just don't, you know, it's not a good fit. When you have the coach not maneuvering its players to the benefit of the players, is not a good fit. And when you have the front office, when things are just stagnant and you have an opportunity to trade a couple pieces at the trade deadline and you don't do anything, is not a good fit. So at all those levels, they failed. And it just like bogs my mind. And, you know, when I think about the front office and last week's trade deadline, I'm like, man, they didn't do anything. And then another thought comes into my mind is, man, the rest of the league didn't want to do anything with our players because they don't value our players as anything. And it's just like an indictment to the whole organization. You know what I'm saying? And basically last year was a mirage. We started the surviving the Knicks during that, you know, miraculous season last year where we were just like the little engine that could, that kind of rose to power using defense and like stingy and defense
and grit.
And grit. And we got to the fourth seed and we went and we played the Hawks in the fourth, in the first round thinking, and we were the fucking, and we were the favorites. That's how we started this podcast. That's how this whole thing started. And now with all these expectations, we gave Randall $125 million contract. We drafted, you know, a couple of dudes. We got Obi Toppin second year. We got Derrick Rose. Last year, we got him during the trade deadline. This year, we got a full year. We got our new shiny pieces, Fournier and Kemba. And, you know, I hear myself from that first episode. Oh, my God, I can't believe we got Kemba Walker, the best point guard since Stephon Marbury. And now, in hindsight, it's a complete joke. And the entire system just broke down, every part of it. There's not – the only thing that hasn't broke down, maybe the capologist, Adler, because Grimes is – Quentin Grimes is legit. Quentin Grimes is a legit player. But you know what? He's a legit player. But should he be playing 32 minutes in this game? Or maybe we should be having Cam Thomas play more than 13 minutes when we just gave up a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that's the kind of backwards thinking that we have. Quentin Grimes is good. He should be playing like 25 minutes, but my God, 32 minutes? Like, we got to get the hands on the guys that are visually talented. You know, Obi Toppin, Cam Reddish. Like, let's see what we got in these guys, because guess what? We're losing playing Taj Gibson 25 minutes per game. Why are we playing Taj Gibson's my age, playing 25 minutes a game?
In his defense,
you double back. You go to the Garden, you play a couple minutes, and you double back to the podcast.
It's crazy, like, man.
The season is not over. Like as a coach,
we're down and out. We're 25-34, man.
Yeah, yo, six games in a row.
Yeah.
Seven, you know, a quick 6-7 game streak.
It's looking bad.
And we're in it. And we're in it. But I just want to say that
it's looking bad, bro.
Yeah, we got All-Star Weekend, you know, let that come to pass. Yeah. And then like the last 20 games, then you see what you got. You know, you see
I don't think
the horse is hot. Like, honestly. I agree though. I've been trying to pump Obi for a minute now. Like, he was like 6 points in 7 minutes, and Tibbs stuck with the rotation instead of trying to keep him out there. Man, somebody tell Tibbs that his rotation is killing him. Slowly but surely. Tim's rotation is like a smoker with cigarettes. I'm sorry to use this analogy. Like, you know it's bad for you, but you just keep puffing. Like, makes sense. Make it make sense. And
it's insanity. Doing the same thing over and over.
Like, you know, we talked about this when we hired Tibbs. You know, now before I even go into the statement, I was very happy that he won coaching of the year because he deserved it. Right?
A+. I remember
because I gave him an A+ because the Knicks were the fourth seed, and you know, surviving the Knicks, they were terrible. But he was the wrong coach for this team from the get-go because of his mentality going into last season. You know what I'm saying? Old school coach. Young players, what were we doing? What were we thinking? And what's going to happen now? Now we're out of the playoff picture. Soon enough, in about 5 to 6, 7 games, we're going to be totally out of the playoff picture. You got to develop your talent. We got the wrong coach. So right now, the way the landscape is, our front office put the responsibility on a coach that only gives the responsibility to veteran players, and we're out of the playoff picture, and we can only develop our young talent. And that's not what our coach's strength is. That map doesn't make no sense.
It does not. And it really started, at least for me, when he put Alec Burks at the point guard spot. And I'm just like, when and why? Like, not to say anything about Alec Burks' playmaking skills or ball handling skills, because, I mean, he's in the league, and it is what it is. But he's not a point guard. He's never been – I've never heard anyone say, yo, Alec Burks can make plays. Like Alec Burks can score. He's a good role player. You know, he's been around the league. He's always had a job in the league. He's never touched the G League ever. You know, the dude can play. But what was the thought? Like, you know, like Tibbs is like, I don't understand. It's almost like he's, I don't even have words for it. Like it's perplexing. I try to make sense of it. And it nothing comes out. Like, I'm just like, I'm curious. Like, I don't understand. And I think at this point, he's just running and gunning. Like, he's like, fuck it. Like, let me try anything to kind of get this shit pumping. And nothing's working for him at all. Like, it's
the weird thing, you know, is that
everything he does is defensive minded, man. It's with the stretch of, well, he's going to be a leader on defense. Well, he's going to be, you know, lengthy on defense. Yeah. Well, he knows what kind of reads I'm looking for on defense. Yeah. And, like, he don't want to teach the young guys.
I don't think Alex Burke would play for the Golden State Warriors. I don't think Alex Burke would be playing for, like, you know, Milwaukee. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Alex Burke will play for the Suns. I don't think he would play.
Milwaukee has personality, man. They'll take anybody.
I'm not sure, man. Like, he's one of those players that on a bad team, he'll play, and a good team, he may come off the bench, the eighth man. And in some teams, he won't even play.
Right.
And that's our starting point guard.
And, like, since when? Like, on 2K, I changed that. Because I'm like, yo, you're not a point guard. You are not running point. I don't even care if I'm not using the Knicks. I'm like, nah, that don't make no sense. Let's cut that out now. Like, it's just, it makes, you know, and unfortunately, you know, I would love to point the finger at the players, but I don't really feel like it's the players. I honestly don't. I honestly feel like there's a disconnect with what the coach is trying to run and what the players are just uninterested in running whatever crayon-driven offense he's trying to draw, and they're just like, oh, okay, whatever.
Well, that's where me and you differ. Not that I put the finger on the players, but I put the finger on the organization. I think that they made a bad bet in giving the keys to Julius Randle. And Julius Randle, he has amounted to a player that does well when everything revolves around him, but the second it doesn't, he doesn't do well.
Right.
So therefore, he's not a good player. He's not a good leader, and he's not the guy that will get you to the promised land. And that's why we're losing right now. Like, today, he had a ton of points, a ton of rebounds, and assists because everything was going through his hands. But when RJ's back and some of the other
players, yes,
when everything is flowing and is not necessarily going through his hands, he's falling back into like the background. And that's our main horse. That's our $125 million train. And that was problem number one. And that started the whole like cascading effect of this fall from grace, you know, giving him the contract. The next thing is his number one like supporter is Tibbs. And Tibbs is a big proponent of surrounding Julius with just Julius and everyone being a total role player. And that's the next effect.
Ball to Julius.
And then when they got Fournier and Kemba, it threw things into a tizzy. And that's where like Tibbs could not adapt. And his biggest fall from grace is the fact that he can't adapt his skill. Like last year, it was, and we used to talk about this all the time, it was Tibbs' way or the highway, no matter what. This year, they got different players, and he just can't adapt, man. Can't adapt, bro.
And y'all thought it was Alfred Payton all this time.
what we should have did?
He's low-key doing his thing in Phoenix right now.
Yeah, what we should have did was we should have traded Mitch for LaMelo. We should have signed Lonzo. We should have signed DeRozan.
Should've, we should have signed
Chris Paul.
In the alternate universe, the Knicks have
the multiverse Knicks.
In the multiverse. In the multiverse of madness, we should have did all these
The multiverse Knicks.
Well, the Knicks are the best team in all of sports.
Yo, look at the multiverse Knicks roster. DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, LaMelo Ball. Oh, my God. LeBron.
Everybody comes.
Halliburton, we'd have had Halliburton.
Halliburton, I mean, Steph Curry at one point. Oof. I mean, listen, I mean, it's crazy. By the way, shout out to Steph Curry. He was on the Knuckleheads podcast. That's pretty good. Y'all should check that out. It's a good watch. It's a good watch, and I think the best thing Steph does is humility. Like, he's very humble. And every night he shoots a three, he sets a record. And it's still, it's just like, you know.
It's unlike LeBron that wants a trophy. Unlike LeBron that wants a championship parade, because he won a championship 2 years ago during a pandemic. And didn't get the parade. And now that the LA Rams won one, he wants to, like, piggyback off of that. And be like, yo, we should have one for the Rams, the Dodgers, and the Lakers.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah. It's whatever.
It's a party town anyway. Go party.
Listen, I think LeBron has one of the best commercials I've ever seen. The one with him and young LeBron.
Yeah.
He's we're going to the league. That was so dope. I'm not even going front. Like, that
was funniest. Dope. The funniest stuff is the memes.
Yeah.
I read a meme. It was like, yo, Westbrook's going to call you. Don't pick up the phone.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. How do you guys feel? Yo, that's crazy. Yo, how do you guys, like, what do you guys think the league is going through right now with two of its marquee, the Lakers and the Knicks, basically not really doing well? Like, what impact do you think that's having? Do you think it's having any impact? Or do you just, do you think that that's...
The Knicks story remains the same. Like, we are still going to pay to be at the Garden. We're still going to pay to have floor seats at the Garden. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter what they put out there. Right. People are going to show up because half of them are ignorant, just don't care. It's New York. I'm going to a basketball game in New York City at Madison Square Garden. That's the sell within itself.
Yeah.
So we'll be surviving for a long time coming. LA concerning your face of the league, your marketing player struggling, not making the playoffs, not good. They're definitely gonna have another amnesty clause or something, that way the Lakers can get better fast. And like, it's Hollywood, like Lake Show runs Hollywood, regardless of what the Clippers are doing, regardless of what any other Cali team, the Golden State,
Sacramento,
or San Francisco Warriors, whatever they're going by, Sactown. So, yeah, the Lakers, they'll bounce back next year because the league needs them to. But
yeah, I agree with Coach. From the Knicks perspective, we've been pretty bad for a long time, so we haven't really been like moving the needle. But from the Lakers' perspective, they had, the league itself had a lot of invested in the Lakers. They had Anthony Davis. They have LeBron James. Yeah. And for whatever reason or no reason, these guys aren't doing well. Now they have Russell Westbrook. So, from a league revenue perspective, they're definitely suffering because the Lakers are not so good. The Knicks, to Coach's point, we do well at the Garden because people just want to enjoy the Knicks game at MSG. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how many people are actually watching MSG Network to watch the games. But, the Lakers themselves, they're like a perennial good team for the last 5-6 years. And they're not doing well. And coupled with the fact that LeBron's getting a little older, this year he broke Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record And you know what? But, it wasn't a lot of fanfare.
One of them, because he hasn't broken the overall record yet, but he definitely broke. I think that's probably the main thing. There wasn't a lot of fanfare for it.
Like, it was like, hey, it wasn't a lot of fanfare. That's still a massive record that's probably unbreakable. And there wasn't like a lot of fanfare for it. And, you know, I only, you know, I'm a hoop head, so I know about it, but I don't know if the casual casual ball fan will like understand that stuff. So, you know, the league is definitely suffering. The good thing is that we got some good young talent and John Morant. We got the Pelicans coming up. You know, we got Golden State still hanging in there. So the league is doing well in those other areas, but the mainstays, the traditionals, they're not doing so well.
Yeah. And, you know, LeBron, at the age that he's doing it at, people are taking that for granted right now. And it's
just
you're not going to see this again. Like, this dude is going to break Kareem's record in a year or two. This is a record that I only thought a handful of people could have ever broken. Like Jordan, you know, at one point I was thinking McGrady, like, you know what I mean? Like scorers, dudes that, you know, and this is LeBron's about to break it. And he is a person that's like, he's a well-rounded player. He's never like, he can score, but he always made his team better with his, you know, like he always looked to make the pass. And that's what's really great about that, him breaking this record. Like, this is a dude that, you know, when it's all said and done, it's gonna be a strong, like, he's this generation's goal. He's there, he's there, Jordan.
A million percent. And,
you know,
the biggest thing about all that is the expectations that were placed upon him the second he came into the league. Yeah. People thought that he would be the GOAT when he came into that league as an 18-year-old. And he became exactly what everyone expected him to be, which is pretty amazing, man. Yeah. You know, again, on this podcast, we've like
what'd you say, Coach? Ahead,
like, to keep his nose clean like that, like, bigger, like, no scandal, really, you know, not like, bigger.
No
like,
controversy. In fact, you know, he's risen up the top. Like, one thing that, all right, like, I'm a Jordan stan, right? Mm-hmm. I love Jordan for his basketball. I love his for his sneakers, but that's all you really know of him. Like, LeBron's an icon, yes, because of his basketball, but more so for his social causes and the things he has to say. And like, he's not trying to shut up and dribble. You know what I'm saying? He stands up for what he believes in. He like personifies the millennial era. You know what I'm saying? Like, he thinks something, he says something. And that's, there's something about that that's like empowering to all young people and all people. So he's definitely an icon. I respect him wholeheartedly. I still think that Jordan's better than him, but barely, you know what I'm saying? And I've been saying that from the get-go. And LeBron has paved his way, not from basketball only, but from like all sorts of things. And the fact that he's still doing this stuff at 37, 38, and he's trying to play with his son is straight up amazing. Like, right now, they're talking about Stephen A. Smith was like, yo, we got to preserve LeBron's glory years. They're thinking about trading Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is like 7 years younger than LeBron.
Oh, by the way, he got hurt. He got hurt in the Utah game, by the way.
Oh, today?
Yeah, yes. Just now. Our insider, E. Wojciechowski, a.k.a. E. Legend, just reported it. Yeah, the Davis got hurt. But whatever, he just said, and then, you know, like, him and Clearview are just like, I guess this is like the stick. This is the last hatchet to the Lakers season, because LeBron can't do it by himself, the boy. And Russ is just
going to put it. I was about to say, Russ don't count no more?
Does he? Does he? Listen, the best thing that could have happened to Russ was him getting traded to the Knicks. Because he could have just went wild.
Oh, no.
Right, but you, thinking back to the trade rumor that Ed spoke about, when he talked about Fournier,
Kemba.
Kemba, and who else was it? Because I read that rumor.
Burks.
That actually would not have been a bad trade because you would have freed up room for the younger guys. You just let Westbrook run crazy because at this point, look what's working for the Knicks. What's working for them? I got the game in my background right now.
The only problem with that trade is that it would have took the ball out of RJ's hands.
I guess. I mean, listen, it's something to figure out. Either way.
Oh, no, ain't nothing to figure out. Listen. we see it like as
that's
a professional.
Listen, that's cat money that you just take off.
As a professional, like they all lost their mind. Like nobody wants to make any good adjustment. They're like, yo, this is how I play. We can deal with it or not. Yeah. And look at where it's gotten us.
But that's
the bottom line is that the league has changed, man. You got to be able to hit a jump shot. If you can't hit a jump shot, you're not going to make $45 million anymore. Yeah. Everyone's going to kind of be like, yo, you're going to be like Westbrook. I don't care how fast or how you jump. You got to make that jump shot. Because one day when we're paying you and we have other players, you got to be able to cut to the basket, get the ball, and hit a jump shot. You can't always go to the lane. Yeah. And that's why Kevin Durant recently, he said, you know, I was the only skilled player on my team. I wanted to do something else.
Yeah.
Like that's a direct knock on Westbrook. And you know, I'm a Westbrook fan. I like watching him play. He's like, you know, he's a hustler. Like he gets the ball, like he makes these weird jump shots. He goes down the lane. Like you're like fascinated the way he plays, but on a winning system, everyone has a role and he can't be like the maniac going all over the place. He just can't be.
Yeah. His athleticism was especially early on was just
he still
incredible.
Has it though. He still has it.
Yeah, but it's still like at this point, how long is that gonna be? And obviously it he's done nothing to work on his jump shot. He's done all the things he's skilled at passing the ball, he's skilled at getting to rebounds here and there. But you know, like the league, like you said, has evolved to a point where you have to be like a triple threat at all times. You have to pose the threat. You know, you get into the lane and is he going to shoot? Can you know, like, I mean, perfect example is you look at Chris Paul. He's like 80 years old at this point, doing the same thing he's been doing. You can watch the game and know and literally like it's like watching a movie that you've seen 20 times and you could just recite the words over. He makes that curl around the pick and roll and he freezes the defender. Why? Because you know he could either shoot it, you know, that's a two, that's a bucket right there, or he's gonna get the assist and get his team even more. So you know, you either give up that bucket to him or you give up the pass. And he's killing the league with that right now. Like they're not killing the league with three-pointers in Phoenix. Like they're shooting it, but it's the mid-range game that they're bringing back. And it's so destructive right now what they're doing within the paint right now. And that's the thing that Westbrook cannot do. That a lot, you know, even these young kids have the idea, run the pick and roll, what to navigate that. Like, he can't.
Yo, how good would the Knicks be if we had Chris Paul?
Ooh, they'd be better.
We'd be a lot better.
It doesn't matter if as long as James Randle's on the roster, it doesn't matter. Really? They have sold him a dream. They have sold this man a dream, and he's in. That's it. He's bought in for the next.
Oh, man.
We got three more years on that.
I don't know. We could sit here all night and try to figure out. It's what can the Knicks do is the equivalent of what is the meaning of life at this point? Right? It's like.
Why is the sky blue?
Why is the sky blue? Or in Kyrie Irving's mind, why is the earth flat?
Exactly. The trade deadline. That's why you got to do something at the trade deadline because, you know, after the trade deadline, it's like, yo, we're not doing nothing, man. That means that you're no better than the last guy. So Leon Rose messed up. Just from a reputation perspective, he messed up.
I'll save that for another podcast, for another episode.
Yeah.
I just want to.
Honestly, man, Tibbs is would be a hell of an assistant coach. I still believe that. I think
no, stay away.
As a head coach, he's just not.
You know what the saddest part of Tibbs is? Yo, my man doesn't have a girlfriend. He's not married. He has no children. All for the sake of coaching.
He's
like, that's so sad to me. I'm like, for real? This guy's like whole life is basketball, and that's it. When he dates someone, he says, hey, you know what? I'm just telling you right now that you are secondary. Like, he's going to be like 80 years old, like,
sounds by just himself. Like his coaching.
That's exactly right. He hasn't adapted. His life has not adapted. That is kind of scary.
Like, you got me thinking about retirement.
If all you're thinking about is basketball and this is what you're producing, that's a huge problem.
And you're not like a goddamn Mensa on a basketball court. You're not beating the Nets when you're up 28 points
Jesus
in the second half. You can't beat the Nets without KD.
I think
and all sorts of players.
I think a lot of it is personality, man. Like, if you can't properly motivate your guys and refocus them after stretches, like, yeah, you just don't have that personality. Man. And it's like,
I think that's the number one thing, coach. I think that you as a new coach, you could come in and be a drill sergeant that first year, and everyone's gonna listen to you. But then that second year, you're like, come on, man. We just heard your shit last year. Like, that's Tibbs. And if we follow his coaching career, it follows the same trajectory, same map. You know what? The Timberwolves, they had a big jump that first year to second year. But then that second year came, you know, like, it was – third year was terrible. Like, that's Tibbs. Mm-hmm. Bulls, too. He had a brand-new superstar. But beyond that, they had a big jump, and that's basically they didn't really do anything. Yep. And that's what we're doing with the Knicks. Yep. And luckily,
Obi at the three, man. Free Obi. Jesus. Obi at the three.
We're at the point right now where a certain member of the STK crew wished COVID. I'm not gonna say who.
That got edited. I need it to be edited.
Yo, by the way, what's up? What are the odds of Obi winning the dunk contest? Obi needs to win the dunk contest. From Obi's own perspective.
Who's in the dunk contest?
Obi. Jalen Green. Jalen Green, Cole Anthony. And Ty. Somebody went Ty.
Oh, from Denver.
Yeah.
Ty, yeah. That kid, I don't know.
It's probably Jalen Green because he's a shorter player.
Jalen Green, man, he's super. That kid could jump out the gym, man.
Obi, he got the reverse 360 East Bay.
Yeah, but he's a big dude. The big guys always throw the ball. They catch it. It's always the big guys are always about alley-oops. We need something more. Like artistry, something Aaron more Gordon artistic.
Obi got to win it for guys like Aaron Gordon.
Aaron Gordon got.
Yeah, he got to be Aaron Gordon. Obi got to be Aaron Gordon
again. I believe.
So it's not. New York so it's Navy. It's Obi Toppin, Jalen Green, Cole Anthony, and Juan Toscano. And
that guy. Yeah. Juan Toscano.
I think the dark horse is Cole Anthony because Cole Anthony. Gets up on the low, man, and he's got I've seen him in game. He's interesting. That's the dark horse.
Yeah, but I don't even see him flying.
But he's the little guy.
I think it's gonna be Jalen Green and Obi in the final.
In the final, totally.
But Jalen Green, like Obi, gotta be like more Aaron Gordon, like what Coach said. I still think he'll lose.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I'm gonna take Obi. Obi for the win, man. Everything. I called them.
Yeah, you did Golden State. I wanted to say, yeah, you did call Golden State.
I wish I was a better man.
You should have put money on that. Dinner after the game would have been on you. Like, don't worry, kids. I got this. No dollar menu tonight.
That's it.
Everything.
Whoa, I got a lot of food. You know, like.
Yeah, but fellas, it's been real. Shout out to Big Task Ahead. Shout out to our brother Clearview Daniel for stopping through, sharing in the STK pain. you know, shout out to you guys. You guys, you know, listen, man, I'm with you guys. I feel the pain, but it's like, it's unbearable, man. This thing sucks, man.
Fat Joe.
I'm not too high on the run.
Yo, Fat Joe went on SportsCenter and was like, I stopped watching the Knicks. And then, you know, every season, there's always a point where I stopped watching the Knicks.
I wasn't wrong.
And I hit that. He stopped watching Knicks.
When I said I didn't watch the game, I wasn't wrong, man. Like, it's just not fun, man. Like, there's the lack of creativity. Like,
it's tough, man.
It's just not fun. But again, we survive it every day, you know. We make it to the season. We look to the trade deadline. We look to the draft. Like,
yeah.
Kobe's about to win a dunk contest. Yeah. So,
yo,
let's go.
Yo,
what happened?
Coach is a tank commander right now, man. We're trying to tank. Let's break out the fatigues.
That's not what I said.
The I'm tank commander, right there.
What's more to come? You know, on the next the tank season. Commander. Like I said, on next week episode, we will be.
Last year was the time to tank. There was chips in that.
We're trying to get Chet Holmgren.
There's a guy There's a guy with
at his best. He's KP 2.0.
There's a guy in the draft who's on a working visa. It's another guy who needs a sandwich. Another kid.
He got the early LeBron current syndrome. Oh man.
Sheesh. This ain't the draft to tank for. This is the draft where you try to win at all costs. So you don't get the first pick.
I do like Banchero though. Banchero, whatever the boy's name is.
Banchero on cool. Duke. He's good. You know, I mean, you look at parity, you know. I mean, he's a strong four stars. It's a strong four. It's a strong 3.5.
Free Obi, please. At all costs. Last year, you know, get RJ some shots, and now it's free Obi. Get that man on the floor. He had 7 minutes and 6 points. And, yo, Taj Gibson had like 18 minutes. What a shame.
Oh, man. And our prayers go out to Anthony Davis and the Lakers. Who's season?
Lakers, you'll be fine next year. Thank you for taking a year off.
Fellas, it's been real. Salute everybody.
Hi, boys. Surviving the Knicks, guys.
Surviving the Knicks. Peace.